Please take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of John chapter 1 and Galatians chapter 4. Can you handle two at one time? I know you're a smart crowd. I know you can do it. If you would, let us stand together. John chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 1 down through verse 5. John chapter 1. And as you know, we just began a series of Sunday morning sermons from the book of John, and we're still in chapter 1, so this works out quite nicely. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now we know that the Word there is Jesus Christ. Verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And now to Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Galatians 4, 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so very much for this Sunday that we call Christmas Sunday. But Lord, we realize that You were born not so that we would give gifts, but You were born so that You may be the gift, the unspeakable gift, the one that gives eternal life, and that, Lord, we must be willing to accept that gift. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Take your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 2. God sent forth His Son. May I say this right at the beginning? If the salvation could have been had some other way, then Jesus would not have needed to come. If we could work our way into heaven, Jesus would not have needed to come. But Jesus is the only way into heaven, because when He sacrificed Himself on the tree and shed His precious blood, God the Father accepted that sacrifice. But Luke chapter 2, verse 1 has what many, of course, call the Christmas story. Luke 2, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. Don't you love it when the person in power puts out a decree? Yes, that all the world should be taxed. So you think that we are the first ones to have the tax? Oh, no. Tax has been around for a long time, folks. You know what's the certainty in life? Taxes and death. Verse 2, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. As you probably have noticed, Pastor Stephen's wife is with child. She has, I believe, about 2 months. And she's probably excited about those 2 months coming and going. Our next door neighbor just gave birth. It's been a very difficult birth, and And the child is over in Ann Arbor at the Mott's Hospital and is in some serious issues there. But the birth of a child is special, isn't it? My wife has given birth to two children. My wife has never had 1 minute of labor pain. Now, someone says that's great, but there's only one other way you can have a child without labor pain, folks. And to be quite honest, the first child was born, that being Matthew, and I got to see him before she did because when they put her out, they put her out. And so I saw him, and at that time, Matthew, you don't remember this, but the surgical ward was on floor 2, and the children were kept in the nursery up on, I think it was the 4th floor, and so they came to the elevator with Matthew. They hadn't even cleaned him up yet. He looked like he'd been in a fight. And they called me over, and there I saw him for the very first time. But the birth of a child is very special, very special. And we find here in verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. It has been said Christmas is the time for looking. How many of you have on purpose, not by chance, not simply going from point A to point B, but on purpose have gone out and looked at the houses with their lights on them? How many of you have done that? Not too many of you. Are any of you planning to do it? I mean, there are some really sharp houses out there, wouldn't you agree? And now that they have those little camera things that shine up onto the house, it makes like, wow, those are really cool. Have you, any of you gone downtown Rochester to see the beauty of that city? Very good. You know, the Rushes over here have a business downtown Rochester. It's Rush's Antiques. Am I going to get anything for sponsoring your place there? Yeah, that's right. Rush's Antiques, downtown Rochester. And their building, is it gold? Is that what color yours is? Gold that's in front of their building. And it is really sharp down there, wouldn't you agree? And Karen Dyer sent out a picture from downtown Detroit. Jeff, you get to see that every night, don't you? As you're working there for that business, it slipped my mind. Excuse me? There you go, Title Source. Very good. And beautiful pictures of downtown Detroit. Lights are great, aren't they? You know, we go out for time of looking, but it's a time of looking around at family and friends. Isn't there something special about getting the family together? Last night at the Madonna House, we had 28 people. And they were mostly Derringes, and there were some Madonnas there. I'm not used to the Madonnas being outnumbered. But this year, Donna and I have become the senior people on her side of the family. Her parents have passed on, and so last night we got together with the family, and it was good eating. Isn't that why you get together? And we had games, and we sang Christmas songs, and some gifts were given out. And, you know, this time of year, we think of family and friends. Tonight, we'll gather as friends, and we'll be here in this auditorium. And I'm looking forward to having the opportunity to listen to some people do something. And I'm going to enjoy Sunday night just being like all of you, just listening and watching. And it's exciting. It's a time to be looking ahead. I got something at the library yesterday, and they said it was due in January of 2016. How many of you think that 2014 is just about ready to begin? And yet, here it is, 2016. The year is rushing towards us, and it's a time of resolutions.
And some of us probably need to make some. But it's also a time of looking back reverently across the centuries to Bethlehem, the manger in which the newborn Jesus was placed, and the house in which the wise men came to bring their treasures. A side note, we all understand that Jesus Christ was not born in December. You say, Pastor Paul, that kind of messes things up. I know, but traditions are not always accurate. We know for one thing, the sheep would not have been in the fields in December. It would have been far too cold. And the manger was not necessarily in a stable. And you say, well, Pastor Paul, over here on the wall, I mean, there's a stable. There's a very good chance that Jesus Christ was born in the Tower of the Flock. Micah chapter 4, verse 18, Migdal Edar, where the temple sheep were born and raised and would then be sacrificed. And most likely the shepherds that came were those that took care of those sheep that were for sacrifice. And that's why they knew where to go. See, the shepherds didn't come because of the star. Who came because of the star? The wise men came. The kings of the east. The shepherds didn't. And I know that we have the traditional, you know, the wise men at the manger. No, they weren't there. They came to the house where Jesus was, maybe as much as 2 years later. So just some thoughts to make you curious and get upset at Pastor Paul for ruining your idea of what the Christmas scene looked like. You know, there are many Christmas songs, and the choir sang any number of them today, but one of them that I truly enjoy, especially verse 3, is entitled In the Bleak Midwinter. How many of you ever heard that song, In the Bleak Midwinter? Not too many of you. Well, last Sunday night, Judy Fleming sang verse 3, because that's the special verse. But it says in verse 2 of In the Bleak Midwinter, heaven cannot hold him, nor the earth sustain. Heaven and earth shall vanish when he comes to reign. God himself became a man, born to pay sin's price. He's the great redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on to verse 3, what can I give him, needy as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. What can I give him? Give him all my heart. Jesus truly is the great redeemer. He paid the price. There on the cross of Calvary, do you remember that last statement he made? It is what? It is finished. The price is paid. I've accomplished what had to be done. He is the great redeemer. Galatians 3, 11 and 13 says, But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law, the Ten Commandments, what did it prove? It proved that all of us are sinners. Because none of us can keep the Ten Commandments. None of us keep commandment number 10, which is thou shalt not covet, or commandment number 1, which tells us not to have any other gods before him, the Lord Jehovah. And so we needed a redeemer. We needed someone that would save our souls. And Jesus Christ declared that he would do it even before the foundation of the world. Revelation 5:9. Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Are you not glad that Jesus Christ can save anyone that will come to him? No matter where they are born, no matter what color of their skin, no matter what they have in the way of education or in the way of money, he is willing to redeem those who will come to him. If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. It's a picture of sacrifice. Jesus Christ was given, for God so loved the world that he was what? That God gave, right? He was given. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. It's a picture of giving. You know, a lot of times people have a hard time giving. Some people are natural givers. Some people are just natural takers. Would you agree with that statement? And Jesus Christ was willing to give himself for you and for me. What can I give him? My heart. It's a picture of commitment. What are some pictures of commitment? Well, you know, someone who plays sports has to be committed. Would you not agree? If you're going to be a top football player like my grandson. Right? It's a commitment. Yes. If you're going to learn the piano, is there not some commitment that has to be done? We were excited last night when our granddaughter, Samantha, nine years old, she came up to me before we did our singing, and she goes, I want to play. Now, she wasn't talking about playing downstairs with the toys. She wanted to play the piano. And she did a pretty good job. I was amazed. She did a lot better than me. You say, well, why, Pastor Paul? Because I have never committed myself to playing the piano. Never once. I look at those, what, 88 keys? 88 keys, and I'm thinking, that's far too many for me. But here she is, 9 years old, and she's committed herself to playing the piano. What are some things you can commit to? Well, if you're married, can you commit yourself to your mate? Don't you think that's a good idea? My wife said that was a good idea. Yes. It is a good idea, isn't it? To commit yourself to your mate. I think it's great when I see a people who have been married many years. I tell you what, how many of you have been married at least 15 years? Would you raise your hand? You've been married at least 15 years. How many have been married at least 25 years? You've been married at least 25 years. How many have been married at least 35 years? Yes, 45 years? Oh, we can't do that yet. 42 and a half. 45 years for the Watkins? Woo, that's great. 55 years. You've been married 55 years. Oh, the number's going down. How many years? 56 and a half. That's great. How many?
61.
61 years. That's great. My parents were married 61 years, right?
61 years, 2 months, 3 weeks, 4 days, 2 hours.
And who's counting? You are. That's right. Commitment. How about a commitment to raise your children in the cause of Christ? See, we can give our children all kinds of things. Read of a school in New York that was doing the Charlie Brown special. Have you seen that? They did it up to where Linus gives the definition of Christmas, and they cut that out. I don't expect the public schools to teach our children about Jesus Christ. But I do expect churches to tell you about Jesus Christ. And I think parents should tell their children of Jesus Christ and that he is the reason for the season. We'll get to that in just a moment. You can be committed to your job. You can be committed to your house. You could be committed to butterflies. My wife has gotten into monarchs. She is now a way station where I get to shoot rubber bands at them. She's growing weeds around our house. Milkweeds. I'm a patient man. You say, I know that, Pastor Paul. You allow her to have 3 dogs. Actually, what it's turned out to be is the 3 dogs allow me to live there. That's because I get them their dog food. That's right. But you can be committed to a lot of things.
You can be committed to the house of God. You can be committed to reading the Bible. You can be committed to praying. Jesus Christ was committed. He committed to come. And what a blessing that is. Right now, and maybe for the past month, many in our families have been distracted by Christmas planning. Gifts, decorations, baking, parties, even church. The question can be asked, are you distracted from contemplating the true meaning of Christmas? Has the preparation for Christmas pushed out the true meaning of Christmas? Did you know that God never suggested that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ? It's not found that this is what you have to do. No. We're to remember the fact that he rose from the grave. In fact, we're to take the Lord's Supper as a reminder of what he has done for us, correct? This do in remembrance of what? Of me. Of that part of what that he did? That he died on the cross. Yet many people, maybe even in this room, are beating their head against the proverbial wall, trying to create the perfect family get-together at the Christmas season. May I say this, it's awful hard to do. Though it was close last night. But you know, we find it hard. Trying for that perfect family portrait, for that perfect meal, the perfect table setting, the perfect gifts, etc. Dr. Ken Ham writes, if the dream of that peaceful, meaningful, loving celebration full of smiles and hugs and warm fuzzies is so important that it has brought frustration and disillusionment, this could be a sign that the dream has taken the place of an idol. And we've placed it before the true meaning of Christmas. Dr. Ham continues, Jesus is probably not concerned about the sugar cookies turning out perfectly, even if they are for the church bake sale. He probably is not upset about the napkins not being folded into little Christmas trees, or the turkey being a little dry, or the lights on the Christmas tree that just won't light. Don't you hate that on your pre-lit tree when they stop working? I took your advice, folks. Donna went out and bought 3 strands of lights to put on our tree where the tree doesn't light up anymore. I hope people didn't notice it last night. He wants our hearts to be focused on him and his word, and not just as Christian, just not at Christmas. This Christmas, don't let staged pictures of exuberant families steal your focus and your joy. Jesus is not only the reason for the season, he is the reason for living, unquote. Back to Luke chapter 2, again, verse 8. Luke 2, 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a what? A Savior. He came to die. He is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now into my sermon. You say, well, what was all the rest of that? That was the introduction. I have 3 points. According to the clock back there, I have 6.5 minutes.
Do you think I can get those 3 points in 6.5 minutes? Okay. Point number one, shepherds abiding. Why shepherds? Well, number one, I think they were willing to listen. You know, a lot of people today don't want to hear anything about Jesus Christ. Have you noticed how many of the so-called Christmas holiday movies never mention Christ? Oh, they'll have lights and they'll have gifts, but they don't have the Christ of Christmas. It's amazing. Have you noticed that the early editions of A Christmas Carol use scriptures and have songs in them? And the further they've come from those early editions, the less they have in the way of Christmas songs. They have holiday songs. And rarely do they have any scripture anymore. You say, well, why? Because a lot of times people simply aren't interested in Christ. They're interested in the gifts of Christmas, but not the Christ of Christmas. We notice that an angel was announcing, we need to listen. We find that the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. May I say this? We need preachers who preach the fact that men and women are dead and dying in their sins. And unless they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're bound to spend eternity in hellfire. And that there needs to be repentance, and there needs to be a change. But to mention hell and repentance today is to say that, wow, there's something wrong with us, and you'll hurt somebody's self-esteem. I tell you what, you better have your self-esteem hurt and go to heaven than have your self-esteem intact and go to hell. May I say this, that all of us are sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there are two types of sinners. There are saved sinners and there are lost sinners. There are sinners who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and there are those who have never accepted Him, though they may know all about Him. And pastors announce this around the world, and some accept and some do not. Point number three, and don't say amen. Angels singing. How many of you like to sing? I mean, you really like to sing. Would you raise your hand? You like to sing. Yes. Pastor Stephen, I see new choir members out there. I enjoy singing. Now, I'll be honest with you. I really wish I had a good voice. I mean a really good voice. Please don't say amen on that. And don't come to me afterwards and say, we'll pray that you get that good voice. Okay? But to be honest, my desire would be able to break out into song while I'm preaching. But the Lord hasn't done that because He figures I'd get the big head and that I probably wouldn't finish my sermon. But I enjoy singing. I think it's marvelous. The Bible tells us we're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We're to come before His presence with singing. We're admonished to sing in the New Testament, with psalms and hymns. And the angels singing. Now, Pastor Stephen, I'm going to suggest this, that choir was better than ours. I mean, as good a choir as we may or may not have, I'm going to suggest that those angels, when they began to sing, were better than our choir this morning. Just a little. They didn't hit any bad notes. But I wonder this. I wonder when Jesus, it was known that they were going to sing about the arrival of Jesus, and they asked for volunteers. If every hand of the angels went up, that they all volunteered to go and to sing. But I don't think they all were sent. But a band of them were sent, were there. Verse 13 says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The angels were singing. Are you rejoicing with the angels? Notice what it says in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. How do we have peace on earth? Is it by having all the money we need? No. Do you realize that suicide rates among the very richest are about the same as those are among the very poorest? Is it by having the best education that is available? Will that bring us peace? No. Is it by having the biggest house in the church building? Is that going to bring us peace? How about if it's paid for? That's a good thing, isn't it? Yeah. What will bring you peace? How about coming to church? Will that bring you peace? Now, be careful. This is a trick question. Will coming to church perhaps give you peace? It's getting you in that right direction if you're going to a church that proclaims the truth of Jesus Christ. Why can we have peace? Because of Jesus Christ. Why isn't there peace in the world today? Because most of the world knows nothing about Jesus Christ. They know nothing of His saving grace. They know nothing of His love for us. The only way we can have peace in our world today is Jesus Christ. And what is the world doing today? The world is running as hard and as fast as it can away from Jesus Christ. It's saying, we don't want you. We don't want you. Read of a school in, I believe it was Pennsylvania, and the students sang a song of Islam. But that same school will not allow Christian songs. Why is that? Because we want to show that we're fair? We're not fair. That we're tolerant? The only ones that are not tolerant with is Christians. And so that's why we don't have peace in our school today. It's why we have more suicides in our high schools today than we've ever had. Because they don't know what peace is. Peace is not having the newest cell phone on the block. Peace is not having the greatest computer and all the new toys available. Peace is knowing Jesus Christ. Shall we stand together? Number 17, have thine own way, Lord. The Lord's desire is that we will come to know Him as Savior. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ today? Do you know the Jesus Christ of the first Noel? Do you know Him? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, Lord, we pray that You would touch hearts. Lord, You know the spiritual condition of everyone in this room. Lord, we pray that You would save that one that is nearest hell even today, that they may come to know Thee as Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen.